You cannot absorb losses, Mazer shouted at him after one battle. When you get into the real battle, you won't have the luxury of an infinite supply of computer-generated fighters. You will have what you brought with you and nothing more. Now get used to fighting without unnecessary waste. It wasn't unnecessary waste, Ender said. I can't win battles if I'm so terrified of losing a ship that I never take any risks. Mazer smiled. Excellent, Ender. You're beginning to learn. But in a real battle, you would have superior officers and, worst of all, civilians shouting those things at you. Now, if the enemy had been at all bright, they would have caught you here and taken Tom's squadron. Together, they went over the battle. In the next practice, Ender would show his leaders what Mazer had shown him, and they'd learn to cope with it the next time they saw it. They thought they had been ready before, that they had worked smoothly together as a team. Now, though, having fought through real challenges together, they all began to trust each other more than ever, and battles became exhilarating. They told Ender that the ones who weren't actually playing would come into the simulator rooms and watch. Ender imagined what it would be like to have his friends there with him, cheering or laughing or gasping with apprehension. Sometimes he thought it would be a great distraction, but other times he wished for it with all his heart. Even when he had spent his days lying out in the sunlight on a raft in a lake, he had not been so lonely. Mazer Rackham was his companion, was his teacher, but was not his friend. He made no complaint, though. Mazer had told him there would be no pity, and his private unhappiness meant nothing to anyone. Most of the time it meant nothing even to Ender. He kept his mind on the game, trying to learn from the battles, and not just the particular lessons of that battle, but what the buggers might have done if they had been more clever, and how Ender would react if they did it in the future. He lived with past battles and future battles both, waking and sleeping, and he drove his squadron leaders with an intensity that occasionally provoked rebelliousness. "You're too kind to us," said Eli one day. "Why don't you get annoyed with us for not being brilliant every moment of every practice? If you keep coddling us like this, we'll think you like us." Some of the others laughed into their microphones. Ender recognized the irony, of course, and answered with a long silence. When he finally spoke, he ignored Eli's complaint. "Again," he said, and this time without self-pity. They did it again, and did it right. But as their trust in Ender as a commander grew, their friendship, remembered from the battle school days, gradually disappeared. It was to each other that they became close. It was with each other that they exchanged confidences. Ender was their teacher and commander, as distant from them as Mazer was from him, and as demanding. They fought all the better for it, and Ender was not distracted from his work. At least not while he was awake. As he drifted off to sleep each night, it was with thoughts of the simulator playing through his mind. But in the night he thought of other things. Often he remembered the corpse of the giant decaying steadily. He did not remember it, though, in the pixels of the picture on his desk. Instead, it was real, the faint odor of death still lingering near it. Things were changed in his dreams. The little village that had grown up between the giant's ribs was composed of buggers now, and they saluted him gravely, like gladiators greeting Caesar before they died for his entertainment. He did not hate the buggers in his dream, and even though he knew that they had hidden their queen from him, he did not try to search for her. He always left the giant's body quickly, and when he got to the playground, the children were always there, wolven and mocking. They wore faces that he knew, sometimes Peter and sometimes Bonzo, sometimes Stilson and Bernard. Just as often, though, the savage creatures were Eli and Shen, Dink and Petra. Sometimes one of them would be Valentine, and in his dream, he also shoved her under the water and waited for her to drown. She writhed in his hands, fought to come up, but at last was still. He dragged her out of the lake and onto the raft, where she lay with her face in the rictus of death. He screamed and wept over her, crying again and again that it was a game he was only playing. Then Mazer Rackham shook him awake. "You were calling out in your sleep," he said. "Sorry," Ender said. "Never mind. It's time for another battle. Steadily, the pace increased. There were usually two battles a day now, and Ender held practices to a minimum. He would use the time while the others rested to pore over the replays of past games, trying to spot his own weaknesses, trying to guess what would happen next. Sometimes he was fully prepared for the enemy's innovations, sometimes he was not.